for that scripture reading. So friends, join me now in prayer. Well, gracious God, how good it is for us to gather together and to discern your word for us today. What is it that you are saying to us, Lord? Speak and fill our hearts with your joy and love. In the Savior's name, we pray this. Amen. Well, friends, I see her name in the newspapers again, and she is telling about her work as well as her faith. Danielle Kane. You may remember her. It happened July of 2018. Danielle, age 28, and her fiance, as well as friends, were celebrating a birthday party in an outdoor cafe on the Danforth. Suddenly, shots rang out, and a hail of bullets came their way. Danielle was hit in the stomach. She remembers falling, and she saw blood, and her thought was, this is how it is to die. She was rushed to the hospital. 11 days later, out of an induced coma, she was awakened. She had had something like 7 surgeries. All of her internal organs had been smashed and indeed mashed. And the bullet pierced not only her internal organs, but it exited through her spine. So Danielle was now in a wheelchair. And of course, it took about 2 months of rehabilitation and work. And then finally, she was sent to her home in Oshawa, an apartment, 1 bedroom, 4 walls to look at. Friends did come by, but then you may remember the pandemic hit and the friends faded. She simply had her family, but every day she awakened to pain, and every night she went to bed in pain. And when she took her medication, it simply clouded her mind. So you can imagine how the darkness of depression fell upon her. And then came the unkindest cut of all. Her fiance came by one day and said, Danielle, I hope you understand, but I just can't go on this way. And so he left. Darkness, despair, depression. All of these things. Now, Danielle knew that her mother, a Christian, was praying for her, but Danielle herself said, I was an atheist. I did not believe that there was a God. But one night, in desperation, Danielle Kane prayed, Oh God, if there is a God, help me. She awakened the next morning and peace came over her. Nothing had changed. She was still in her wheelchair, but the sky seemed so blue. The grass seemed so green. The flowers so yellow. Something had changed. And now, instead of hiding behind her computer, she went on to her computer and she was simply directed to write her story, what had happened to her. And as she posted this on social media, she had a response. People came forward with their stories. Before she knew it, she had a chatterbox of friends surrounding her. Then after a while, they all suggested that they get together, which they did. They met together in a Tim Hortons restaurant, upsetting the whole structure of the place. And so the meetings continued again and again, and other friends came by and met. And Danielle developed a friendship with a man. He would come by, he would help her in her home. He would invite her to her place, taking wheelchair and all. A year later, he proposed marriage. They married. It was a wonderful celebration. She introduced the wheelchair dance. And then they went away on a honeymoon to Quebec. She came back, and then a shock. She found out she was pregnant. Impossible, said the doctors. That can't be. Nevertheless, with three more surgeries, corrective, 9 months later, baby Joy was born. Chloe Joy, her joy to the world. And today, Danielle simply says, Jesus not only is my Savior, he not only is my guide, he is my daily friend. And this is what she writes about today, testifying not only to her faith, but to her newfound life. So friends, this morning I want to ask the question, because I don't think we ask it too often. The question is this: do you believe in Jesus? I will simply stand here and say, I believe in Jesus, and I will give you reasons for why I believe. Now, as Joe read the scripture, 2,000 years ago, there was this man. He was a teacher, a prophet, they said, and certainly a healer. And of course, the established religion of the day was very much against him, because I think largely because of jealousy, because they may have had a few people come to their synagogues, but whenever Jesus appeared, there were hundreds, there were thousands that came. He even fed the 5,000. So they came to hear this miracle worker, this charismatic individual, and people began to circulate all kinds of rumors. Some said that he was Elijah, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But Jesus puts the question to his followers, because at this time he has 12 followers, and he simply says, but who do you say that I am? And you know, Peter, who makes so many mistakes, you have to love Peter, because he's always putting his foot in his mouth and always wrong, but on this occasion he is right. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so the rest is history. That is the beginning of the church. And so we have it today. This is why we are here. We are gathered for no other reason than to acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ. Now, what does it mean to say that Jesus is the Christ? Well, I would say three things. Number one, Jesus is the Christ because he is the Savior. Now, what does it mean to talk about Jesus as Savior? Well, friends, the first Christmas tells us the meaning. You remember the angel came to the shepherds, and the angel said to the shepherds, I bring you tidings of great joy, for this day to you is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, a Savior. Now, friends, we know of many earthly saviors, don't we? For example, Alexander the Great was savior of the Greek civilization. Abraham Lincoln was the savior of the American nation because the nation was ripping apart. Churchill was the savior of Britain, standing against the onslaught of Hitler. Mark Carney, I dare say, is our present savior. So we have saviors down through the ages. But then we also have the Savior, the one who is concerned beyond the nation, the one who is concerned about the human soul. And friends, we all are living souls. So we have the Savior of the soul. Now, what does that mean? Well, you can read all kinds of theology. But to me, the best theology is contained in the hymn book. And you may remember this song, "There is a green hill far away outside the city wall, where the dear Lord, our Savior, was crucified, who died to save us all. We may not know, we cannot tell, what pain he had to bear, but we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there." That hymn was written for children. Children could understand it, but then adults grabbed hold of the hymn because suddenly they could understand the meaning of what it means to have the Savior of the human soul. You see, Jesus saves us from ourselves in this present life. Oh yes, he saves us from ourselves because, friends, you and I all have flaws. We're all flawed creatures. We need someone to save us from the flaws in our life. You may call them sins, I call them flaws. I call them handicaps. Nevertheless, they are there. So the Savior saves us from our sins and our flaws, not only in this life, but in the life to come. That is the meaning of Savior. Are you saved? Have you ever been asked that question? I have. And my answer is yes. I was saved 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. And all we have to do is simply affirm that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus gives us the quality of life now in our day-to-day living. And what is that quality of life? Well, it is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, humility, self-control. That is what it means to have a balance in your life. So Jesus saves us in this present life and in the life to come. But not only is Jesus Savior, he is also sovereign. And again, the scripture tells us that he is sovereign. You may remember another great happening in Jesus' life and in the life of the disciples when Jesus on Palm Sunday came into Jerusalem, the disciples said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is not only Savior, but he is also the sovereign of your life and mine, only if we will allow it. Sovereign in our life. There was a movie that played here in Uxbridge almost a month, The Odyssey. How many of you saw Odyssey? Well, a great movie, dynamic, computer generated. It certainly captivated your imagination and your attention. And of course, it's the story, Homer's Odyssey. Odysseus, after the Trojan War, which lasted 10 years, suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder. And so he embarks on his journey home. And as he embarks on that journey, he has no North Star, no navigator to direct him. So again and again, he falls into peril. Calypso, the Cyclops, the one-eyed monster, the man-eating monsters, and then the sirens who sing their hypnotic song, mesmerizing him, and then the whirlpool of despair and death. Odysseus goes from one peril one danger to another, simply because he has no navigator, he has no North Star, no middle C on the piano, he has no guidance, no one to lead him, no one to guide him, and so he is lost. Do you see why we need a sovereign? We need someone to lead us. We need someone to guide us. My brother was in the military. He fought in the Second World War, wounded at Juneau Beach, but then restored, and he continued with the liberation of Holland and the repatriation of Germany, and he stayed in the military all his life. We would see him from time to time, but every time we saw him, we would say to ourselves, there's something wrong with Nick. Well, years later, we learned, although Nick was able to function during the day, he would come home, and there he would battle the demons of his trauma. And he would drown those demons in alcohol. So within the 30-year period, he became an alcoholic, simply tossed from one peril into another. One day, one night, he went to an AA meeting. And there, he discovered the higher power. He discovered that he was not the captain of his fate, not the captain of his soul. And as he handed over his troubles to the higher power, and as he was surrounded by like members who supported him and helped him, as his wife later said, the last 15 years were heaven on earth. So you see what it means to have the higher power in your life. Every one of us faces challenges. We all face stresses. We face disturbances and troubles in our life. Whether it's health security, job security, family security, no matter what it is, there are things that you and I face in this life, and we have to handle them. But there is one who can help us with all that we face, and that indeed is the sovereign, the one who is our navigator, the one who is our North Star, the one who is the middle C on the piano. Jesus, our Savior, our Sovereign, and also our sure friend. And here again, the scripture. Jesus, as he faces the cross, says to his disciples, "No one has greater love than this, that he lays down his life for his friends." And he says to his disciples, as he does to us, "You are my friends." Think of that for a moment. The Creator, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us, the Sovereign, the Redeemer, you and I can call him friend, intimate friend. And that is what Danielle Kane has discovered in her life. As she now continues with her happy family, reaching out in a ministry of caring for others, and indeed has found direction and purpose in her life. So that is with all of us as we follow him, as we join hands with him, who is our sure and sympathetic friend. What a friend indeed we have in him. So in our daily living, in our day-to-day activity, You and I not only have the Savior, not only the Sovereign, but also the sure sympathizing friend. Amen.